Okay, tonight's shir is on Kulin Daf Yud Amud Aleph. I want to dedicate tonight's chabura in memory of my relative Rav Shimon Klotz, Rav Shimon Chaim Ben David Nachman, who just passed away, and I gave out some mishnayos. There'll be a theme in the end of the shloshim in here in Gamra. Okay, tonight's topic is about Chazaka de Mikara, Chazaka de Hashta. Before I start reading Gemara, I want to present, if you look at the chart I just gave out, just to make life easier, we're going to discuss three cases that are very similar, and I'll just try to explain the cases, and we'll start comparing the cases. So you look at the top chart. The first case we're comparing is the Shkita case. I'll say it outside first. The case is, you have a knife, a shochet has a knife which he checked, and he made sure the knife did not have a pgima. It was a smooth knife without any indentations. He then does the shkita, and then after he does the shkita, he happens to cut maybe the bone, the back neck of the animal, and then he looks at the knife and he sees there is a pgam, there is an indentation in the knife. And the question now becomes, when did this pgam occur in the knife? Did it occur before the Shkita or after the Shkita? If it occurred after the Shkita was good. If it occurred before the Shkita is no good. We don't know what to do.
Why would it have occurred during? Because of the...
Okay, it's a good question. I guess if it occurred during, then that would be the same problem, because... Did it occur before the cut or after the cut? Okay?
It was in the middle of the cut. The question is, at some point, the majority was row of a cut.
Right.
That's
going to be part of the calculation. So okay. Hold on, okay?
Afterwards,
by the bow, right? If it's before, then there's something about the cut that did it, and the Gemara will say maybe it was the skin, presumably that there's some part of the animal, the neck area, before he actually cut the right pipes that actually created. Okay, so we're going to have, as usual, a machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, how to decide on this case, okay? So, Rav Huna is going to say we're going to go l'chumra. We're going to assume that the knife had a blemish before the cut, and therefore this animal is an avela. Rav Chisda will be mako and assume that the indentation took place with the bone and not before the cutting of the shkita, and then an animal is a shkuta and it's ksher. So machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. We're going to have a third psak, and that's the pshara psak, that we're going to say it's only going to be good if he later cut a hard bone. But if he cut the spinal column, it's no good. That happens to be the psak halacha. We make a low pshara. Okay. So before I tell you the analysis, why does Rav Huna say his opinion, why does Rav Chisda say his opinion, let's just make sure, let's see what we can see, what's going on here. So clearly, if you look at the top column on the left, you have, in terms of the knife, a chazaka that the knife was a shalem, right? You started with a good knife, okay? Then, that's called chazaka de mi'ikara, okay? On the other hand, you look at the knife afterwards, and you see the knife is pagum. That's called chazaka de hashta. You look at the present situation. And on top of that, you then have the additional factor that the animal has a cheskes iser, right? Behema b'chaya b'cheskes iser emedes, right? An animal is not kosher, and until we know for sure that the shkita was done properly, we presume that the shkita is a problem. We have to make sure the shkita is proper. So we have a cheskes iser on the animal, we have a chazaka of the hashta that the knife is pagum, against the chazaka de mi'ikara that the knife was good. Okay, is that clear? Those are the forces, the principles that we're operating in. And somehow, we have to come up with the theory, and we'll see there are three theories here. Two shitas, Tosus and Ramban, how to explain what's going on. So Rav Huna will come up with an explanation why he thinks it's Aser. So he has some combination of these forces combined in it. The Psak is Lechumra. Rav Chisda will combine the Psakim to say Lekula. And then we have the middle opening. Okay. Now, before I tell you what they all say in their reasoning, we have to know there are at least two more cases we must be aware of we're going to be comparing. The Gemara itself will bring in If you look at the second row, that's the mikvah chatitza case. The mikvah chatitza case is as follows. A man, before he goes into the mikvah, is tamei. You know for sure he's tamei, okay? That's like the animal where the animal was not kosher, okay? He's trying to go into the mikvah to make himself tahor, okay? Now, he does not have a chatitza. He made sure, okay? But then he goes into the mikvah, and then he comes out, and then all of a sudden he has a chatitza. When did the chatitza take place? Before or after? So, similar situation. Chazaka de Mikara, the man did not have. At one point, for sure, he knew he didn't have. Obviously, he didn't check a second before. There wouldn't be a Shiloh, right? So, obviously, maybe he checked himself in the morning or something, okay, or a day before. So, there was a point in time where there, we know for sure that there was a Chazaka Mikara, the man did not have a chatitza. Later on, like the case of the knife, originally start off with a good knife. Later on, the man sees a chatitza. That's like the pago. And in addition, you have the cheskas tuma of the person. So very similar situation. And in that case, if you look in the column where it says halacha case two, everybody agrees the man is tame. So the Gemara will ask, so this is good for Rav Huna, but it's bad for Rav Chisda. The kasha is on Rav Chisda, and that's the kasha the Gemara will ask. Why does, how does Rav Chisda distinguish between the knife case and the mikvah chatitza case? And we'll have to discuss that, okay? Case number three, the Gemara, our Gemara doesn't bring in, Tosfos brings in, and that's the mikvah chaser case. This is another case of the mikvah. And that is, you have a mikvah, again, man is tame, okay? And you know for sure, at one point, beforehand, the mikvah had 40 sa, at least 40 sa. And then, the man went in, and then you measure, and you see there's less than 40 sa in the mikvah. Question, when the man went in, did the mikvah have the 40 sa or not? When did the mikvah lose the 40 sa? Similar situation. Again, cheska mikara, the mikvah had 40 sa. That's like the knife and the original mikvah, the no chatitza. Chazaka de hashta, the mikvah is chaser. That's like the chatitza or the pagum knife. And in addition, you have the cheskas tuma of the person. All three cases are similar. Agree? Why? And in that case, again, the halacha is tameh, no dispute. Okay? So those are the facts. Now let's see what the analysis is. Okay? So I'll read the Gemara, and then I'll go through these three theories, how to explain the Gemara. And that'll be it. Okay? And we'll be done. Okay, so let's see the Gemara. Two dots. Itmar. Hashoched besakin. So a man shacks with a sakin. You know for sure the sakin was good. V'nimtzeis pguma. And then after he shacks, he sees, he discovers that the knife has a pgima. Amar Rav Huna. Afilu shibur ba atzamos kol hayom. Even though after the shechita he kept on chopping a lot of bones, there's a lot of reason to say that it happened afterwards. Psula. We still say the animal is not kosher. It's nevela. Why? Chayshinan shema ba'or nivgama. We are afraid that he, when he shechted, the skin created a pgima in the knife. And therefore it was already pagum, and therefore it's a nevela. This is the opinion of Rav Huna. V'Rav Chisda amar, and Rav Chisda says, kshera, it is kosher. Shema be'etzem nivgama. Because we will presume that most probably the pgima happened afterwards because he chopped some bones. So the Gemara says, Vishloma Rav Huna kishmaite. This refers to the Gemara Daf Tes Amud Aleph, where Rav Huna made a statement, every animal, kosher animal, becheskes isur omedes when it's alive, achi yivade lecha b'menishkata. You presume, the assumption is, that the animal is not kosher until you can make sure to verify that the shkita was done properly. Well, are we sure the shkita was done properly? No, we're not sure. So therefore, he paskins it's no good. Ela Rav Chisda, my time. Why does Rav Chisda say it is kosher? Amalucha etzem vade pogim. Since we know for sure he did chop the wood, the bone.
I mean, it doesn't just mean the fact that just the etzem of the neck. It just means the.
That's a good possibility. The Gemara later on will say the etzem of the neck. There are two opinions in the Gemara later on, which I don't want to get into. You're right. V'otz safek pogim or safek pogim safek lo pogim. So you have a choice. Do I say it happened through the bone or the neck, or do I say happen through the skin? Well, one is more likely than the other, and therefore have safik vivade ven safik moti midei vade. This is what the Gemara says. Okay, so this is the opinion of Rav Chisda. Okay, so basically, what's going on, and what's the common theme through all these cases is we have a clash. We start off with a good knife, so that should say the shechita was good. We end with a bad knife. So do you go with the original chazaka with the good knife? Do you look, that's chazaka de mikara, or do you go with the chazaka de hashta and the fact the knife is bad? That's really the bottom line, what's going on, and I'll explain the theories in a second. But before I do that, let me just read the question that the Gemara poses, and that is from Rav Chisda from case number 2, Mikvah Chatzitza case that I already quoted before. I'll just read the Gemara and see how the Gemara answers. So the Gemara says, Bishlama Rav Huna, Meisiv Rava L'siyu L'Rav Huna. Rava brings a raya to Rav Huna from this case of the Mikvah Chatzitza case. Tavo, the man went in, remember, he was Tame. And there was some point in time we knew he didn't have a chatzitz. Okay, v'ala, he goes out of the mikvah, v'nimtza alav davar chotzitz, and he discovers a chatzitz. Afo pishin itasik boso amin. Even though he touched this material, you know, whatever paint or whatever it is, which is a reason why the chatzitz might have happened afterwards, like the case of the etzem. Kulo lo ausalotvila, doesn't help. Ache yomarli barili, I know for sure shelo haya alai kodem lekein. So here we have it. It's tame. So it's akasha on Rav Chisda, right? So the Gemara says vahacha devade tavo. For sure he went in. Safek haya alav. There was a chatzitza before. Safek lo haya alav. Vekasi safek motimi devade. It's the same case, and here we say lechumra. So the Gemara says, Shani Hasam, the Ikalameimer, Hematama El Cheskasa. You know why the mikvah is different? Because the man had a Cheskas tumor. The Gemara says, well, listen, you know, the animal had a Cheskas Iser. That's not a Taina. Vehemelotav Achanami, Hemet Behema El Cheskasa, Vehemelonishkata. Okay. Hare Shchuta Lefanecha, but he did a Maisa Shkita. Hachanami, Hare Tavu Lefanecha. Hais Yalade Bereisa. But wait a minute, there's a Chatzitza. Hachanami is yalade veresa because it's a sakin pagum. So the Gemara, final, here's the key words of the Gemara. Sakin israi behema lo israi. You know what says the Gemara? The sakin, the problem is the reis is in the sakin, not in the behema. Now, as I said, there are three theories how to read the Gemara. I'll read the Gemara according to Tosfos Aleph, Shita Aleph, okay? Which is the simple taich, and that is that even though there's a reis in the knife, the knife is external to the psak shaila. What we're focusing is, what is the status of the person? Is the person tamei tahor? We're not really interested in the knife. We don't care whether the knife is shalem or not. We care about the person. And, right? I mean, in the case of the knife, we're interested not in the knife, we care about the animal. But in the case of the mikvah, there the reyesa is in the person himself. So in the case of the behema, the shayla is on the behema, not on the knife. So therefore, they're external. So I'm not going to mitzarev the reis of the knife with the cheskas iser of the animal. But in the case of the mikvah, the reis is in the person. That will combine with the cheskas tuma of the person, and that will knock off the original cheskas kasherus that there was no chatzis. Okay, that's the way the Tosfos understands the Gemara. Okay. Question is, what is the machlokis between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda? What's the theory? And to answer this question, I found a very interesting Rav Naftali in another area, which I'm going to borrow and carry him in. Now, for this purpose... Yeah, you have a question? Yes. But the knife was smooth. You checked for sure. There was a point where the knife was... Before you checked it, the knife was definitely smooth. We do care. I definitely did not say that. We definitely do care. But we say, we presume, Rav Chisda says, we presume the knife was good because the fact that you found the reis in the knife later on does not relate to the animal. You follow?
got it.
Okay, yeah.
If you hit the bone,
yeah,
there's something, you still hit something on the way out, no?
And therefore what?
And therefore, why is it necessarily good just because you hit the bone?
Why is what?
Just because the bone causes indentation, why is it necessarily not good?
Well, because once you shack the animal, you hit the bone after you shack the animal, so who cares?
It's dead already.
It's dead already. Okay. All right. So if you just bear with me, look at the page I gave you on the bottom. I quote to you a famous Tosfos in Gittin, three liner, which if we understand the Tosfos, there are different ways to understand. This is a Gemara in Gittin where the Gemara talks about the fact Chazal instituted a zman and a get. Why? So one of the explanation is given by Rav Yochanan Mishum Bas Achosa, which means that if we Chazal didn't institute a zman, we are afraid the wife will be mezana, as an eshesh. He'll give her a get without a zman, and you'll say, you know what? The woman was already divorced before this news. Now, you don't know, because there's no date. Oh, we don't know. We're going to save her. So to avoid this problem, we'll require a zman, and that solves the issue. Okay? Now, Tosfos is bothered with an issue. Okay, let's say you have a date. You have a get without a date. And you don't know, here we're thinking, using our principles of Chazaka, did the znus take place before the get was given or after, right? Did the, was the get given before the znus or after the znus? Okay, says Tosfos, let's use Chazaka. Now, what Chazaka does the woman have? Ish is ish. She's married. Now, you don't know, was she divorced at the time of before the znus or not? What do we do when we have a chazaka? Put her on a chazaka. Let's presume she was an eishes ish. So even if you give a get without a date, how have you solved the issue? We'll use chazaka and we'll kill her anyway. That's Tosfos' question. Right? So let's read the Tosfos inside. Shelo yichapa aleha ki she'em bo zman. That the purpose is that a husband shouldn't save his wife when he give her a get, by giving her a get without his mom. Delo amrina. We will not say, Ukma acheskes eshesish, put the woman on acheskes eshesish, v'hashtahu de igrisha. Why? Kivan shehi grusha lefaneinu. You know why, says Tosfos? Because right now she's divorced? Well, if she's divorced now, she's divorced before. What do we call that? Chazaka de hashta. V'od, and furthermore, adaraba, ukma b'cheskes shera. In addition, the woman has a cheskes kshera shelo nivola kishiyeshesish. Now, there are different ways how to read this Tosfos. The simple way is to say that Tosfos is giving two answers. Answer one, chazaka de hashta is stronger than chazaka de mikar. Answer two, it's not stronger. But because you have the combination of cheskes kashrus of the isha, right, and the chazaka de hashta, that will overpower. That's the simple reading of this Tosfos, to which the Pnei Yeshua and Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Sheikh Shmaita and everybody goes crazy. Well, how can the Tosfos say this? After all, look at the case of the mikvah. The Gemara in Kiddushin said the only reason the mikvah chaser case, it's a Gemara Nida, the Gemara Kiddushin, the Gemara says, you know why the mikvah chaser case, we say that the person is not tameh, because we presume that the mikvah was already chaser, was because you combine the chazaka de hashta is chaser together with the cheskes tuma of the person. But if you don't combine them, we don't say chazaka de hashta wins. And here Tosfos in his first answer seems to say chazaka de hashta is so good it can work without the additional factor of the cheskes tuma of the mik of the person or the cheskes kashrus of the isha. That's the problem. So they want to say a different reading of Tosfos. It may not be so bad. That when Tosfos says, well, oh, he's not giving a different answer, Tosfos is just piling up reasons. It's not an answer. It's just piling up reasons why it's good. What he means to say, it's good, number one, because you have a chazaka, the hashta, and you the vote is really a vav, an and. Which is dokeg. If Tosfos meant vav, and, he should have said v. It's like saying, you have the svara of the chazaka, the hashta. You have the svara of the chazaka, of the kashrus of the Isha and the combination of the two works. It's a little weak reading of the Tosos, but they're saying it because of their question. Now, Rav Naftali does not want to say this. He wants to offer an answer how we could read the Tosos Pashtos. That it seems that the Tosos will say Chazaka de Hashta is good enough against Chazaka de Mikara, and that's different than the case of the Mikvah or other cases in Shas where we're going to say Chazaka de Mikara wins. So then Rav Naftali has a beautiful yisod, and I'm going to use his yisod to explain our Gemara. His yisod is that there's a fundamental difference between the case of the Mikvah case or the other situations like it versus the get. And the difference is it natural or is it man-made? In other words, what's the whole notion of chazaka? Chazaka is a concept of the law of inertia, okay? What was, is, right? In other words, if the sun shined today, right? What's the chances it will shine tomorrow, right? The laws of physics are all based on the principle that the world follows the same rules and regulations. You know, all of a sudden, things don't change. That's the concept of Teva. So natural phenomena follow these principles that they don't change unless there's an external force. That's the principle of Chazaka. Okay, so you have a mikvah. You knew it had 40 sa. Unless you know otherwise, we presume it remained with 40 sa or anything like that. Okay, the animal was not treif. We presume it was not treif unless it's at the last moment. Okay, but when it comes to giving a get, that's something not natural. That's a human endeavor. Human beings are not, you know, they're not constant. They're not static. They're dynamic. People change their mind all the time, right? The whole idea of tshuva, person change, right? The whole idea of being a human person, making human decisions, is a change, okay? And therefore, the whole notion of chazaka de mikara falls apart when you're dealing with conscious decisions. And that's why chazaka de hashta will win. That's the yisod of Rav Naftali, okay? Now, before I use the Rav Naftali, let me just use... Rav Naftali himself answers a question, and I'll answer another interesting question. Yeah, Rav Naftali Tzvitrav, we're not, okay? So, Talmud of Rav Chaim Brisker, lived 100 years ago. Okay. Rav Naftali says, by the way, I can already right away answer an interesting question with this yisod, and that is, there is a case in the Yoredeya where you're not sure whether the meat was kavush for 24 hours. And you know, kavush, if something is soaking, let's say a kosher piece of meat soaking, let's say in blood or some non-kosher material, for 24 hours will make it non-kosher. And you don't know, was it 24 hours or not? And we paskin that it's... We paskin lechumra, okay? And yet, when it comes to treifos, you don't know was, you know, did it become treif or not. You have a gvina case, and we paskin lekula. So in the case of the treifos, we go with the chazaka de mikara. The animal was not treif, and the treifos took place at the last minute. When it comes to the kavosh, we presume that it happened from the beginning and not at the last minute. That the kvisha happened at the beginning and it was kavush for 24 hours. So he says, based on my yisod, it's very good. Kavush is done by a human being. So we go with the chazaka de hashta. Is it kavush now? Is it soaking now? Yes. We'll presume it was soaking before. But when it comes to treif as a natural phenomenon, that we go with the chazaka de mikara, and therefore it was treif only at the last minute. So but when you made the cheese, it wasn't treif. Okay, that's his answer to this problem. Good.
Isn't chazaka de hashta also based on the fact that things don't change?
No, because you're just simply... The theory is like this. It's not because things don't change. You're just saying, I don't know what to do. So there was a point in time where the event took place, and I don't know where to put that point. So the chazaka de hashta says, if you don't know what to do it, you know, we'll put it at the beginning. Because since right now, it's like this. You follow? It's not really going in the metzias of how things are, all right? Fine. It's just simply a way of deciding, okay? Fine. So I'm going to use this yisod of Rav Naftali to explain our Gemara according to this, what I call Tosus Aleph approach. And I'll explain what I mean Tosus Aleph if I have enough time, okay? We have a machlokas, Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Now listen to this case. It's a beautiful case. How do you analyze the case of doing Shkita? Is it natural or is it human intervention? Well, it's certainly human because a person is shechting, but is he consciously making the knife pagum? That happens on its own. So a person is doing an activity, right? A routine activity of shechting by which the pgima will occur. So there is involvement by the person, but it's not conscious. So that's the point of the Nekuda Machlokis, I believe, between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Rav Huna says, we go with the Chazaka Dehashta, it's considered a human endeavor, like the get case. It's not a natural phenomenon. Rav Chisda will say, you know what? But he's not doing it consciously. He's doing it just as an automatic thing. And therefore, it's like the natural phenomenon, and therefore we go with the Chazaka de Mikar. I believe that's the Machlokis, Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Okay? Yeah.
They would argue this. They have the same Machlokis by the Kavush, but they're also the person isn't consciously making it treif. He puts it, fine, he puts it in.
Now let's see. The case of the Kavush, you put it in, and the only question... No, but you consciously decide when to put it in. So the question is, when did you start putting in? And that's a conscious decision. As opposed to the indentation, that's not a conscious activity. That happens on its own. So it's not the same. Okay? You with me? Okay. Okay. With this, I think I have a very nice answer to Akasha. Well, let me hold on. Sorry. Tosvos, Aleph, has another question. Remember, I brought you case 3, Mikvah Chaser. That was not given by the Gemara in our case. Tosfos brings it in. Okay? Remember, the Gemara says by the Mikvah Chaser, the halacha is Tameh, right? So Tosfos says, according to Rav Chisda, who says that in the case of the Shkita, we will say that it's kosher, right? So Tosfos says, and why? Because we go with the Chazaka de Mikar of the knife. And it's not like the case of the Mikvah Chatitza case, because the Gima, the Reisa, does not combine with the Cheskas Iser of the animal. Well, says Tosfos, in case 3, it's identical, because you have the Reisa of the Mikvah, and that is completely separate from the Cheskas Tuma of the person. It's exactly parallel to case Shkita. And yet, in the case of Mikvah Chaser case, the halacha is Tamei, and in the Shkita, Rav Chisda says kosher. That's Tosfos' question. Tosfos gives two answers. When I write Tosfos Aleph, that's both answers in that approach. I'll analyze the two answers in a second. Tosfos gives the following answer. Says, you know what? The Mikvah is different than the Shkita. So, you know what the difference is? The mikvah is gradual. When the water decreases from the mikvah, it's not something that happens at a discrete point. It's continuous. Water evaporates, people go. So it's a continuous process, less and less water in the mikvah. And at one point, that is going to hit the mark where it's going to go before less than 40 sa'. Since it's a gradual process, we can no longer split it. And then we're going to say, we cannot go with this Chazaka de Mikara. That weakens Chazaka de Mikara, because it's a continuous, gradual. We cannot say continuous. How can you say continuous? It's constantly changing. As opposed to the case of the knife, says Tosfos, no, that's a discrete point where you blemish the knife, and therefore that we can still use the Chazaka de Mikara. That's Tosfos' answer. Tosfos gives another answer. He says, well, maybe the knife is better because he cut some bones. Okay? So the cutting of the bones is more of a tliya as opposed to the mikvah. We don't have a real tliya. In other words, what is the purpose of the cutting of bones? Is it just to explain how the indentation happens? Or it actually gives some positive strength to the fact that the indentation didn't happen before? So Tosfos in his second answer wants to say like this. Obviously, Tosfos in his second answer will say the case of the knife is similar to the mikvah, despite the fact that he ignores this chiluk. And I want to say this is gufa the machlokas between the two answers of Tosfos, because the case of the knife, it's very similar. First of all, the case of the knife, we already said, is complicated in terms of, is it human or natural? Now comes another issue to discuss. The case of the knife, is it continuous or discrete? Well, it's discrete. It's not like the mikvah, it's constant. But also, a person doesn't just do one cutting. You know, there's constant movement, and if you add up all those little movements together, you can also view it as a continuous process. So there's also room to say that the Shkita is more similar to the mikvah, and that's why Tosfos, in his second answer, doesn't want to give this chila.
Happens.
Yeah, but listen, in the case of mikvah also, the point where it loses the 40 size also at one moment. But because the physical process is a continuum process, we put it together. You follow?
So guess, there, it's the process of becoming chaser is continuous, so the race and the mikvah, you can see
yeah.
Happen continuously.
And in the case of the knife, it's also the pgima, you know, it's a continuous process of cutting, and eventually at some point, the cutting will reach the degree to which it's no good.
I think it would be a one-shot deal.
Obviously, that's what Tosfos number one says. But I'm suggesting perhaps that's not so simple, and that's what Tosfos gives the Vo'od another answer.
Is there a certain point?
Yeah, no, apparently there must be a point where it becomes the real chaser, right. You know, fine. All right. Now, here, before I go on any other shitas, just very nice question. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch has the following psak. A shochet, at one point, you checked him out, had a bedika, and you knew he was knowledgeable. He passed the bechina. You know, like a smicha student, he went, he passed his bechina, he got his kabbalah. Okay. Then he checked, and later on you check him, and you find he forgot. You know, he did not pass the test again. You know. Question. Did he remember the halachos of shkita when he did the shkita? Okay. And the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch paskins lechumra. Okay? So the question is, this is the question of the Taz. He says, listen, what did Tosfos say? We make a chiluk gradual versus something that's, you know, discrete, right? Instantaneous. Now, when you forget, do you forget instantaneously? No, it's not like one morning you just get up. It's a gradual process. You know, every moment, eventually you forget, right? So it's like the mikvah case and not like the knife case, right? So if it's more like the mikvah case, that... Oh, no, so then Ramah must have paskin it was good. We go with the chazaka mikara. I mixed it up. And Taz says, but wait a minute. Because this is a continuous process, we should kill the chazaka mikara, like the mikvah. Right? So how can the Ramah paskin that it's good? This is the Taz question. Okay? But if you go with Rav Naftali, I think I can answer it. Rav Naftali said there's another chiluk, whether it's natural or man-made. Now tell me, is forgetting something conscious or subconscious? You don't forget, you can't even do it, right? You don't consciously forget. It happens on a natural way, right? However way the mind works and the psychology is, it happens on its own, right? I mean, I don't know if it's a chakira in psychology, but pashtus, a forgetfulness is something that's natural.
Depends how he learned that love. He crammed him in the last week.
Okay. Okay, good question.
The question was, could it be, I mean, if someone gets 100 of the chino and the next day he gets a week?
Right. If you cram. Okay. But let's assume pashtus, this person didn't cram, okay? And the forgetfulness is a natural process. Once we say it's a natural process, chazaka de mikara will win. In other words, that will be different. So once it's a natural process, then we can certainly say that that's stronger. Okay, fine. Now, that takes care of Tosfos Aleph. Now comes Tosfos Beis. Tosfos gives the third answer. I'm calling that Tosfos Beis. It's a second approach. Tosfos says, you know what, my kasha is so strong from the case of the mikvah chaser case to the shkita case that I'm going to reject this whole chiluk, external, internal, forget about this business. No difference, I don't care. That's not the pshat in the Gemara. So Tosfos rereads our Gemara. I mean, it's some dynamics of doing it. And when the Gemara says, let's just concentrate on the two words of the Gemara at the very end. Right. Sakin Yisrai, Behema Lo Yisrai. So the first sheet of Tosfos said external versus internal, which is the simple translation of the words. Tosfos' second approach, Tosfos' answer three, second approach, that says that's not the pshat. When the Gemara says Sakin Asrai, the Gemara meant to say there are lots of svekas, lots of problems with this Sakin. And I'll explain how Tosfos says. He calls it like ki svek sveka, like a svek sveka. What does he mean? Tosfos says, number one, we don't know when the pgima took place. Did the pgima take place before the shkita or afterwards? That we already knew from the beginning. But Tosfos throws in more svekos. Even if it took place before, says Tosfos, but how do you know that he shecht it with the part of the blade that had the pgima? Even if the blade had a pgima, but how do you know which part of the knife he cut? Maybe the cut happened with the good part and not with the bima. Just because you have a bima is not a guarantee that it's nevela. So you have more svekas. And that's what Rav Chisda really meant to say. You have lots of svekas. Okay, so let's analyze the Gemara, Machlokes, Rav Hun and Rav Chisda, according to the second approach of Tosfos. What are they arguing about? Now, the Achronim explain, this is a svek-sveka. Tosfos calls it ki-svek-sveka. It's a svek-sveka bedavar echad. Because bottom line is, did he cut with the nick or not? So you can analyze it in whatever way, but you're still saying the same thing. So what Tosfos really meant to say is, you know, we don't. It's more of a tzad to be a lahakia. We don't know how to decide. Chazaka the mikara, chazaka the hashta. This just increases the chances that most probably the chazaka the hashta is more correct. It's more likely. Now, he doesn't mean the classical sveik. So what is the machlokes between Rav Hun and Rav Chisda? So machlokes is, I have a chakira, a new chakira. When we say, you behema b'chayah b'cheskes isra medes achivad l'cha b'men ishkata, what does that mean? Do we presume that everything is not kosher and you need a positive chalos of kasherus? Or no? Nevela creates an iser. So you have to make sure you are preventing the Iser from taking place. So how do you look at Shkita? Is Shkita a way of avoiding the Iser Nevela? Or is Shkita creating a positive kasherus chalos? Okay? And I think this is the Hesber and the Machlokas according to this new approach of Tosfos. Rav Chisda says that the Shkita is a way of avoiding the Iser. So therefore, even if you use a sveik-sveik or a probability, it's good enough to decide on these questions. Rav Huna says, no. Behema b'chaya b'chaskas Yisra medes b'achivad l'chabamen ishkata means you must create a positive kasherus chalos. And even a strong probability cannot do that for you. And that's what he says, it's no good. Okay? That's theory number two. Okay? Got it? Now, what is this machlokas between the two deas of Tosfos? First sheet of Tosfos says we can split external from internal. Second day of Tosfos says, no, I don't care. I believe this is the following question. Now, last week, Rafi Stahl gave a chabur. He mentioned something, and I'm going to say his statement is really machlokas. He mentioned, you know, innocent statement. He said, chazaka is something that has to relate to a psak. Well, I believe this point is really the goof of the machlokas between the two approaches of Tosfos. The first sheet of Tosfos is saying, right, the chazaka can only be valid because it's not telling you metzias, it doesn't tell you facts, it tells you halacha, psak din. So what are we paskening? Are we paskening on the knife or are we paskening on an animal? We paskening on the animal. So if later on there's a gim on the knife, that doesn't mitzaref with the cheskes iser of the animal because the psak is on the animal and we can split. The second day of Tosfos says, no, chazaka is a question of identifying the metzias. So even though I'm not paskening on the knife, we still want to know. And therefore that chazaka can be still part of the shaila of the cheskes iser of the animal. Fine. So now comes theory number three, and that is the Ramban. The Ramban says a tremendous chiddush in this Gemara. He quotes the following case. Let's say you have the shochet checked the knife. It was good knife. He checks the animal, and then the knife disappears. And the knife is not in front of us to inspect. So Ramban says, according to Rav Chisda, of course, it's good. But according to Rav Huna, it's no good. So the simple reading of this Gemara is, of course, not so. Because the Gemara only said, according to Rav Huna, it's no good, because you had the Reyesa, right? The Chazaka, the Hashta, that's what we've been going all along. Ramban says, even without the Reyesa, if you cannot verify for sure that the knife was good, Rav Huna will still say it's no good. It's not din in Chazaka the Hashta. So then what is it? Okay, so what is the Rav Huna Svara according to Ramban? And I think the Rav Huna Svara is because there is the principle that Shkita requires that you have Das. Okay? Part of the Shkita is not just to do the physical act of Shkita, but you need a conscious decision. And therefore, the fact that the Reisa later on happened is not much, you know, it's the Reisa later on, or if the knife disappears, the checking has to be an integral part of the Maisa Shkita, because you have to verify that the Shkita is good. Without that proper verification, then physical Shkita is not sufficient. It's the verification, it's the awareness of the Shkita that's part of the Maisa Shkita. And if the knife disappears, you're lacking that. Rav Chisda will say, no, as long as you checked it properly, the Maisa Shkita is good. It's if you have a Reisa later on, we can start talking about it. But you don't need a positive verification for the Maisa Shkita.
No. No. There we get to hold the hook.